You may be seated. Our text today is from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through chapter 2, verse 4. Hear the word of the Lord. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over creeping things that creep upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of the earth, and every tree with the seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps upon the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise God.
I spent the past 3 weeks in this sermon series, which the sermon series is the essential United Methodist beliefs. Spent the first 3 weeks of that sermon series on God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When United Methodists speak of God, we do so using Trinitarian language. I now move on to the fourth topic in our sermon series, and that topic is humanity, created in the image of God. What does that mean, to be created in the image of God? What does it actually mean to be human? Seems like a simple question, but as everything is, sometimes it's not always quite that simple. For Wesley, being created in the image of God meant that we are relational by nature. And that's one of the things I was discussing there with the children, that we have this tendency, this desire, this drawing to be in relationship with people, with God, with creation. We are created to be in relationship. God, as I talked about in the first 3 weeks, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, God is relational in his very being. God is a relational being within the Trinity. So it makes sense if we are made in the image of God, we're going to be relational beings. So that is part of it, and we are drawn to those relationships. Being created in the image of God makes human beings special. Human beings are not simply one more animal in the animal kingdom of God's creation. We represent a different type of creation that had never been created before. As human beings, we exist in this created order, but we are also to stand over and against the created order. We are to help shape and help preserve creation. We were created to live in fellowship with God and God's creation. As Psalm 8 says, "What are human beings that you are mindful of them? Mortals that you care for them? That you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor." You have given them dominion over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under their feet. So Wesley, one of the ways he identifies the image of God is that we are relational. He further defines that in three ways. He said there's the natural image, the political image, and the moral image. And by the natural image, what Wesley meant was that we share in God's nature in the sense that our spirits are immortal. That's one way. We have various divine capabilities or capacities like understanding. We have free will. We have affections. God also created us with bodies. Our text today says, so God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all the earth. So it says that we are immortal. That's what Wesley's saying, and we believe that. We believe that our spirits are immortal. No, not in the sense like God. God is from everlasting to everlasting. There is no beginning. There's no end to God. God is infinite in that way. There was a point when we were created. We have, you know, we weren't from all eternity, but God created us, and he created us as both a spiritual being in a body. So those things go together. When we die, our spirits don't die. Our spirits go to be with the Lord. But there is a day, and the New Testament speaks clearly about this, that there will be resurrection. There will be recreation. We will be brought back together, our immortal spirit, with an eternal body that will go on for eternity. So that's what the Bible says. And so we have a beginning point, no end point. And that's part of what it means to be human. And we will have bodies that are there for eternity. Paul calls them spiritual bodies. The Apostle Paul says they're spiritual bodies. So that is part of what Wesley understood to be the natural image. By the political image, Wesley meant that he has given us stewardship over all creation. And as I said, in recent years, we've become more aware of this. We've become mindful of creation. Back in the 50s and early 60s, gas mileage, miles per gallon, about what, 7, 8 miles a gallon maybe? You know, double digits was unheard of. Ooh, 10 miles a gallon, ooh, you know? We weren't very mindful of that. Exhaust fumes, black smoke just pouring out everywhere, you know. As I mentioned, I grew up near the Great Lakes. You couldn't eat the fish in the Great Lakes because the Great Lakes had been so polluted in the 50s and 60s that it was terrible. We become more mindful of that. We become more mindful of creation. Miles per gallon now is 50s, not unheard of. Emissions have been reduced drastically. We drive down the road and we don't throw our McDonald's bag out the window anymore. At least we shouldn't be, to be mindful. But that used to be kind of a common thing, you know. It looked like a dump truck, a garbage truck, you know, people driving down, all this stuff flinging out all over the place. But we've become more mindful of that. So I think we've made strides in that area to become more mindful over God's creation. And that is a good thing. So we are more mindful of that, and we have been given dominion over creation. We are to be stewards of God's good creation. And then Wesley talked about the moral image, and that was the one that he primarily focused on, is the moral image. And what that meant was that God created us with a sense of love, a sense of justice, a sense of holiness. And as I said, this is the image that Wesley focused on primarily. And he does this because he believes that sin and the fall has corrupted humanity. Now, I'm not going to talk about sin and the fall this week. I'm going to save that for next week. We're going through this book, and in Sunday school, y'all are going through this book, and I think it touched quite a bit this week on sin and the fall of humanity, but I'm not going to touch upon that this week. But it is there. And in United Methodist Church, we have doctrinal standards. That's one of the things that we have. And those standards are spelled out in the Book of Discipline. There are the Articles of Religion, Confession of Faith, and the General Rules are in the Book of Discipline. Wesley's standard sermons are part of the doctrinal standards. And his explanatory notes, his commentary on the New Testament, is part of that as well. So there are standard sermons by Wesley that are considered doctrinal, and one of those sermons is the New Birth. And this is a segment from that sermon that Wesley had on the New Birth, where he talks about the image of God. He says, "In Adam, all died. The natural consequence of this is that everyone descended from him comes into the world spiritually dead, dead to God, wholly dead to sin, entirely void of the life of God, void of the image of God, of all the righteousness and holiness in which Adam was created. Instead of this, every man born into the world now bears the image of the devil in pride and in self-will, the image of the beast in sensual appetites and desires. This, then, is the foundation of the new birth, the entire corruption of our nature. Hence it is that, being born in sin, we must be born again. Hence, everyone that is born of a woman must be born of the Spirit of God." Now, those are some pretty tough words from Wesley. He wasn't politically correct by any means. He just put it right out there. He says, you're created in the image of the devil, you know? Now, how can he say that? How can he say that when we look around and say, you know, not everything in this world is evil. Not everything that everybody does is evil and completely devoid of God and things like that. How can he say that? Well, we'll talk about that more in a few weeks. Next week and the week. Really, all the sermon series is answering that question from here on forward, because Wesley believed that God's grace is what lifts us. And that is held in tension with this chunk of the sermon that he gives. That's a difficult one. But he holds that in tension with God's grace. And God's grace, in a way, has the final word here. He lifts us up. And I will get into that in the next few weeks, because it's going to be important. We'll talk about prevenient grace and sanctifying grace, justifying grace, you know, going on to perfection, all that kind of stuff. It's the good stuff that, you know, it's more uplifting than you're a bunch of devils. You know? A little bit more upbeat, as it should be. So we'll be talking about that in the next few weeks. But I wanted to focus today on what it means to be created in the image of God. What does it mean to be human? The Bible says God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. But I really wanted to have you think this week about what it means to be human. Because I think we just kind of take that for granted. Oh, what do you mean it means to be human? We know what it means to be human. Let's move on with things. This is kind of boring. Now, wait a minute now. You know, I'll challenge you a bit on that and ask you to think things through. I'm not going to give you answers today. Quite frankly, I don't have the answers to all this stuff. But I'm going to give you some questions to ponder, because I don't think the church has really pondered that much. We pondered a lot on who is God and what is God all about. It took us, the church 300, 400 years to come up with this Trinitarian language. It focused for centuries on who is God and what is God all about. But I don't think we've put nearly as much thought into the fact, what does it mean to be a human being? And those questions are becoming more and more relevant today. Just a couple of things, and as I said, I've been going to college now, and I hate to harp on that, but it's a fascinating experience to me. It's just wonderful, because I'm doing it backwards. I'm there with a bunch of 18, 19, I'm by far the oldest one in the class, and every class I've been in, I did see one older guy. I was going to run and give him a hug, but I didn't know if that would be a problem. But I was excited to see somebody there my age, you know. But I'm there with young students and professors and things like that, and they're knowledgeable people. And I'm learning about sociology and things like that, and what sociologists are thinking of these days and saying, what social science is teaching them, and they're learning from that. And, you know, there are questions that come up from that now. One of them that they talk about is everything is fluid. Everything is changing. Gender, for example, is fluid. It changes. The definitions of what it means to be male and female, they will say, is a social construct or a historical construct. These ideas that we have about what does it mean to be female, what does it mean to be male, are constructed from social forces, and those are in a state of flux. So that can be kind of challenging. And how do we process that and deal with that? I have a Facebook account. I don't know how to get on Facebook. I don't really get on Facebook. I did create one a number of years ago. I can't get on that now to even figure things out. But maybe some of you can help me this week. You can research this for me and let me know. But I did some searching last night and this week just to try and find out about gender on Facebook, because you can set up your profile and you can select your gender. I don't know this for a fact. It's what it says. There's 51 options. And I started reading through some of those options, you know? But that's something that the church is going to have to take seriously. What does that mean? How does that fall into being created in the image of God? Those are questions that we're going to have to struggle with. Everything is a social construct. Well, how does that work out? You know, I think some of the roles that men and women have nowadays have changed a little bit. I know that I did a lot more as far as raising kids, like changing diapers, things of that nature. I did a lot more of that than my father did, I'm sure. I think we've changed a bit over the years in that. So that is, in a way, in a state of flux. So we have to be mindful of those things and try to process some of those things. So these are real questions that will pop up. And I think this question of what does it mean to be made in the image of God, what is humanity, that is going to be the big theological questions that the church is going to be struggling with here very soon. Because those parameters are being pushed a bit. Technology. Reading about technology this week, where there are some, I was reading something from a Google engineer or scientist that they believe in the future, 2050, that's their estimation, I don't know, give or take a few years, that they'll be able to extract all of the experiences you've ever had from your brain. They'll be able to create an image of that and put that into a computer system and create a virtual world for you where you can continue on with those experiences in a virtual world. Now, that sounds all, you know, scientific and futuristic and all that kind of stuff, but just think of some of the things that have come about through technology just in your lifetime. It's not that far-fetched. So the question will come up, what does it mean to be human in that respect? Technology is pushing some envelopes. There are some things that they can do with genetics and things like that. So those questions will become more and more relevant. And, you know, we can say, well, that's just crazy. Well, we better get serious about thinking about these questions and answering them from a theological standpoint. That's one of the reasons we're going through this. And we think some of the stuff is, oh, that's just so simple. The church better be prepared to answer some of these challenging questions. So I just throw that out there as some things that we will have to be mindful of. We will have to work through. We will have to think theologically about these things. So I put that out there today as simply questions and just things for you to ponder, because that is, you know, that's common stuff now. I mean, that's what you'll get in Sociology 101. I mean, that's just basic stuff. I mean, that is how the world works in that environment, and their fields of expertise. So that'll be something we'll have to be mindful of. So I just throw these things out there, not to be controversial or anything like that, But just to help you think through some of these things, because the church is going to have to think through some of these things and address some of these questions of what it means to be human. We think we know the answers, but we'll have to really put those into theological perspectives. The Bible is our source. That's in United Methodist Church. The Bible is the primary source for that. Experience, tradition, reason help interpret that and understand that. So we have to come up with a theological answer to some of these questions. So I throw that out there today as a question. What does it mean to be human? We talked a little bit about that today. Created in the image of God. What does that mean? So I throw that out there today for you to ponder this week. And I don't know, like I said, I'm not a Facebook expert. Some of you may be. Go on your preferences. Select that option and just see how many pop up. I don't know. I don't want to misspeak about that. Tell me next week how many there are. And maybe I'll figure it out by that time. I don't know. But it is a thing to consider. And as we move forward, we'll talk about sin next week and how we have distorted what it means to be made in the image of God. And we have to understand where those distortions have taken place and how do we restore that image. And like I said, that is much more uplifting and exciting stuff to talk about. I love talking about God's grace. It is just, to me, it's wonderful. God's grace isn't like sugar that you put on cornflakes to sort of sweeten things up, or salt to sort of give things a little better taste. God's grace is nothing short of God himself working in you. That's what God's grace is. So I'm excited about next week, but I'll leave you with that question to ponder. What does it mean to be human? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.